Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks so much for joining us here on July 14th. I hope that you're having a good week. This coming week, starting actually tomorrow morning about 4 a.m., our high school students from the church here, and our youth pastor and his wife Brenna, and Carter, another wonderful leader we have, they're all going to fly out to California, San Diego, where there's going to be Unite, which is every 3 years for college students, part of our denomination. They get to go for a massive conference of speakers and workshops and Christian concerts, all to pour into their life and faith. And so we're praying for our students going to Unite this coming week, and look forward to when they return on Friday or Saturday, just to hear about the experience that they had. It should be a good one. Next Sunday, July 21st, we also have a baptism service, and it'll be in the evening at Chris and Kathleen Both's place in Waverly, and we have 8 different people from our church going to be baptized. I'm excited about what God is doing in each of their lives. They're going to share a little bit each. We're going to pray for them. And then one by one, we're going to get into the pool there, and we'll baptize all 8 of them, and we'll give them applause and just be excited for them in this new life in Christ. And then we're also going to have a grill out, and we have all of the meat and the drinks and utensils and everything. We just ask that you would bring a lawn chair and a side or a dessert to share, and join us for this wonderful time. It'll begin at 6 o'clock in Waverly at Chris and Kathleen Both's place. And so that'll be next Sunday evening. Good things happening. And then a month from now, we're going to go back to our 2 services. So it'll be August 11th. That'll be our first Sunday back to our normal 8:30 and 10:30 service. So mark that on your calendar. And then August 18th, we start up Sunday school again. And then towards the end of the month, all of our small groups and kids groups and everything begin too. So everything will be starting back up for the fall season next month. But it's been a good summer so far. If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to James chapter 5. We're going to look at the last verses here of James. We've been going through James throughout the summer. And so James chapter 5, verses 13 to 20, we're going to finish up that book. There are 12 sermons online here from the book of James, if you ever want to go through, or if you missed one of them, as we studied this book and looked at it together, what it means to put our faith into practice. And so today is our final sermon in the book of James, and it's on prayer. And so James 5, beginning in verse 13, it says this: "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let him pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make that sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you might be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us, but when he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, it did not rain for 3.5 years. And again, when he prayed, the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you would wander from the truth and someone would bring that person back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save that person from death and cover over a multitude of sins." The main point of these final verses of this final chapter in James is calling God's people into prayer. Whether you are in trouble, sick, happy, or committed a sin, or whatever, James is saying, call out to the Lord right now. To live a life of faith is to live a life of prayer. The main thing the book of James is all about is what a life of faith truly looks like out in the real world. And he is saying here, it begins and it ends with prayer. Prayer is spending time with our God. It's talking to God. It's listening for His voice. It's calling on His name, the name that is above every name. It's turning to Him. It's learning how to be still and even silent to hear His voice. It's going to Him for the answers, the help, the healing, the forgiveness, and the direction for our lives. It's choosing to do life with God. Prayer is how we do it. Prayer is not something only pastors and priests do. It's what the Lord has invited everyone to do, to come to Him. Jesus said, "You don't have because you don't ask. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you." Prayer is that intentional time when we invite God into our particular situation. The Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. He didn't mean kneel for 24 hours a day. He meant keep on turning to God throughout your day. Prayer is not just something we do in the morning or before meals or on Sunday. We pray as we live our life each day. We talk to God just silently in our head. We keep turning to God. As I'm driving to visit somebody in the hospital or I'm headed over to a couple going through some difficulties, I'll tell you, I'm praying as I'm driving, not with my eyes closed, but I'm still praying. I'm talking to God about it before I get there. I'm saying, Lord, I don't know what to say. Please help my words be your words. Please help this couple as only you can. Please heal this person. Please be with us as we meet together. I'm praying as I'm driving. And as I go about my day and something good happens, it's just my immediate response to pray and to say out loud or to myself, Lord, thank you for this. This is good. I'm praying to God throughout my day. I'm thankful for the beautiful sunrise or for this 10 minutes I get to have with my daughter or this golf game with my son or this hand that I have held for the past 23 years, this wonderful wife. I'm thanking God. Every good thing I'm turning to praise. I don't sing it, but I make sure to say it. Not just for others to hear, but for Him. When I'm going through a tough thing, a trial, I'm inviting His help. When I screw up and God lets me know it, I'm immediately asking for His forgiveness in prayer. In sorrows and in joys, I'm going to God like a friend who is with me all day long. So is Jesus. A life of faith is a daily walk with God. And you can't just say you have a walk with God. You have to have a walk with God. You have to talk with God. You have to turn to God. It's a daily decision to include God in every aspect of your life, in your heart. And prayer is the way we do this. It's learning how to see and relate and talk to God throughout our day because He is with us. And some people are into formal prayers. Or, you know, Catholics are into rosaries or something. But I think the Lord most just wants to hear from you. You know, like a father would his child. You might think, well, I don't know what to say. Well, just talk to Him. What's in your heart? What's on your mind right now? What's in your fears or struggles or sins or joys or desires? Just talk to God. He cares about you. He loves you. He's watched over you and been involved in your life from the very beginning. He knows exactly who you are and exactly what you need. I went to visit this man who is struggling with Alzheimer's. His daughter asked me to go see him at the memory care unit he's now living in. And in his past, he had gone to church, but for some reason, he'd stopped. But she said to me, he's got faith. So I went to visit him, and from the beginning of our conversation, I knew he just wanted to go home. He didn't understand why he was there. He told me when he got out, he was going to come to church, and he said he needed that. But the chances are he won't be able to go home. I pray that he can, but I wanted him to know that he didn't need to wait to go to church, you know, to meet with God. He could meet with God right there, right today. I asked him if he prayed, and he said, no, he didn't. I asked him if he read the Word. He said, no, he didn't. But this is how we meet with God. This is how we Christians live our life. We believe that Jesus lives and he lives with us, and we can talk to him right now. We can meet with him right this very day in our home or our car or work, hospital, wherever. He's there and he listens, and he even whispers back to us if we're quiet and seek him. He speaks to us through the Word. He assures us of his promises. He guides us in our everyday. He is Emmanuel, God right there with us. You don't have to go to church on Sunday to meet with him. You can just pray right here, right now, wherever you are. He hears you. You know, our relationships are so important. Maybe you know this already, but Carrie and I, since being married, have never had the opportunity to live near our parents. You know, we have lived 10 years in Canada and now 13 years here in Nebraska. And we've loved the places that we have made our home. But one thing, the greatest thing we feel we have grieved in this life is that our parents and sisters live many miles away from us. They live in Ohio or Colorado. My sister lives down in Texas. And we're thankful every time we get to be with them, because it's not as much as we would like. At times we have coveted the chance that other people get to live really close to their parents, maybe in the same city or state, and their grandparents, and they can go and visit them anytime. And so I guess that's why it's always surprising to us when we talk with people and their parents live just down the road. But they never go over to see them or have them over for lunch. Or their sister or brother lives maybe only an hour away, but they never get together or talk with them. And I know family can be complicated, and I know we're all busy, but what matters more? Family is God-given. It's a gift that you get, and it's important. Relationships are what life is all about. And we got to work and we got to do chores. But a relationship with God and a relationship with our wife or kids or parents or siblings or friends, this is what we live for. Jesus said the greatest command is to love the Lord with all your heart and to love your neighbors as yourself. It's relationships that we were created for and that bring so much joy to our life. But we got to pour into them. We got to make time for them. And all I'm saying is that the greatest relationship that we all have is with our God. And even though you can't see him, he's with you every day. From the moment you wake up to when you go to bed. And prayer, this is how we recognize and acknowledge his presence. All we got to do is speak his name. Prayer is this beautiful gift and this high calling. It's a great privilege. We're invited to do life with God every day. Because of Jesus, he's washed away our sins. We're now able to approach and be with God. We're able to walk with him, to talk with him, to know and be known. We're never alone. Besides this daily conversation with God, James also mentions four times that we must pray. First, he says, if any of you is in trouble, let him pray. The word trouble means afflicted or going through a difficulty. It can be little or it can be big. It can be a trial at work or at home or financial or spiritual or just feeling down on the inside. As believers in Jesus, who do we turn to when we find ourselves in trouble? I hope it's Him. I talked with a friend from this church this week and who it seems to me has just had a lot pile up on him lately. He's had stress at work, a car breakdown, a mower that won't start, flooding in his basement. His son has had to have a surgery. Have you ever gone through a time when it seems like nothing's going right? But I was so thankful for he told me that he gathered his kids and wife around him. And he said, they just prayed because it was a lot. And he used that moment to teach his sons, this is what we do when we're in trouble or things seem too much for us. We pray. Prayer is not a sign of weakness, but strength. It shows where our faith is in Him who has us and is able and is over all. It's admitting we need God right now. My friend told me that for as hard as it is, all these troubles have united closer together as a couple and a family and back with God. They're praying together. Paul says in Philippians 4:6, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, pray with thanksgiving. Present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It does work. Prayer works. Prayer can remove the affliction. It can. I've seen it so many times in my own life and others. Prayer changes things. God answers prayer. Prayer can remove the affliction. But even if God doesn't do so right away, prayer always gives me peace and perspective and strength to face it, wisdom to deal with it, help to endure it by the grace of God. In Corinthians, we learn that Paul prayed about a particular thorn in his flesh, a particular struggle that he hoped God would remove, but he shares how God didn't remove it. Instead, he gave him the grace he needed to turn that weakness into strength. Sometimes that's God's answer. Sometimes he removes the trouble. Other times he helps us through it. We see this with Jesus. He prayed in the garden when he was in trouble. He was overwhelmed with the thought of the cross before him. He prayed, Father, if possible, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. And he asked his disciples to pray for him. And the Father didn't remove the cross, but he gave his son the strength and courage and determination to face it. Psalm 121 says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. When in trouble, we are a people who pray. Second, another time James says we must pray is when we're happy. Why? So we don't forget where all the good things in life come from. Him. I love the word pray and praise, how they're so close together. They come from the same root. Praise is just thankful prayer. Adoring God in prayer. It's saying, Lord, thank you for this. I love you. Praise can be sung or it can just be spoken. But praise is really prayer when we're happy or even just declaring the good stuff about God, even in sad times. It's choosing to praise. There's always something to give God praise for. Paul and Silas praised the Lord even in their chains because God is still good, even on the bad days. Well, James says here, is anyone happy? Let him praise. Be thankful for that good day. Be thankful to God for that promotion or that relief from pain. Just as prayer, when we are in trouble, is a must, I have found that praise is also a must. You've got to stop and acknowledge and give praise when there's something to be happy about. Or you can become overcome with sadness and busyness in your life and miss all the beauty that is around you. You can miss the light in the middle of the darkness. Praise helps us overcome those feelings of hopelessness or negativity or death. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. To see the good in each day despite the many hard things. To see also the praiseworthy, the beautiful, the lovely, the pure. And to give God the glory for it. James is writing to persecuted believers. When in trouble, they need to pray. And if they find themselves in a happy situation, they need to give thanks for that. What a wonderful thing to have. Acknowledge that all good things come from God. I've shared with you this before, but there was a time in my life when I think I was closest to death. I was stupid and alone in the wilderness, took a walk out in the desert in Israel outside of Jerusalem, far away from anyone, without water. And I was praying because I started to black out on this hill, and I was far down into a valley, and I couldn't get to where I needed to get up this huge thing. I was kind of in trouble. And in fact, I did pass out. And I came to just as a Bedouin teenager with a donkey came up down my path. And he found me there. And he gave me water, and he put me on his donkey, and he took me all the way out the road where I got back a ride to my hotel. I know the Lord saved my life that day. He came to me when I was in trouble, and I praised him, and I still do praise him for that. For every day, he's watching over my life, and he saved me so many times. Right now in my life, I'm finding that I'm praising God a lot. Not because everything is perfect, but so much of it is. I cry a lot, mostly because I see so many good things that the Lord is doing in my life. Can you praise the Lord? Even if there are some things in your life that cause you sorrow or worry, can you not let them steal every joy and all of your peace, but recognize the beauty of this day or this moment or the truth that God has saved you and forgiven you and loves you? Can you see all the reasons you have to be happy today and praise Him? It's what we do. Not miss the good stuff. I think the best example of praise in the Bible comes in the book of Lamentations. Lamentations is written by the prophet Jeremiah, often called the weeping prophet, because he lived at a really tough time when God's people lost their land and were forced into exile and captivity. And the book of Lamentations is him walking out of his home and city with his people, uncertain of what's to come. And knowing that it was because they turned away from God that brought about the sadness. But still, right in the middle of this book, there are three verses that to me are everything. Three verses that speak to all of us when we're in deep distress or sadness or regret. Lamentations 3, 21 to 23 says, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I still got hope, that because of the Lord's great love, we will not be consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. For great is thy faithfulness." These verses smack dab in the middle of real pain and sorrow. Jeremiah is praising God for what he knows holds him together in this moment. That there's always hope because God's love never fails. Even when we fail, he won't fail. Every day he wakes us up with compassion and mercy. And he is faithful. This is our God. This is who he is. So in trouble, we got to pray. But also, every happy thing, even the beauty from the ashes or the sunrise of a brand new day, we got to give him the praise. Because the Lord is good and his love does endure forever. The third time James says we must pray is when we're sick. And he says here, to even go to the church to have the elders pray over you. To the sick, James adds this extra thing. Invite others to pray with you. We're to do life with other people. Prayer isn't just a personal thing. Here we see it's also a communal thing. We ask others to pray when we're sick or in our sins to help us overcome. Prayer is also together. And I have prayed for many who've been sick, some my dear friends. And sometimes God has chosen to heal them in this life, and other times the Lord has chosen not to cure the cancer right away. But He always lifts that person up, as James says here, to heaven and eternal life, which is the greatest healing of all. And this I've come to see. For Psalm 103 says, He heals every disease. And He does. Maybe not down here, but when we get to heaven, we will see every ailment and sickness is gone. We may not always see that healing and hope in this life, but we are called to pray for the sick. And the Lord heals all our sicknesses, even the ones that He raises us to eternal life for. For in heaven, there's no more cancer. It is cured in us. We don't enter heaven with the same illnesses we had in this life. My friend Evan and Stephanie, whose daughter was born with a rare disease that took her life at age 12, she was unable to walk or eat on her own at the end. She could not dance with her friends or run with her brother, but she still had this great sense of humor as she wheeled around in her chair. She never lost faith and looked forward to the day when she could run and dance. And she was an inspiration to her parents and to all of us who knew her. She had a special kind of faith and love for Jesus, but her body was broken. And of course we prayed for a miracle for her. And of course we wanted to see her come out of that chair for all of us to see right now. But as his daughter lay in a hospital bed on breathing machines at the end, my friend whispered to his little girl, "Run to Jesus. We will see you soon. Run to Him." And she did. And my friends are comforted in this life, knowing that she is not gone but alive and with Him. And she's no longer in a wheelchair or a breathing machine. And her muscles work great today. And her smile is as big as it's ever been. She's dancing with our Savior, and one day she'll have that dance with her dad. She is healed today. She is alive and free today, all because of Him. The word is true. The Lord heals all our diseases, everyone. And one day we will see that it is so. And so we pray for the sick. It's what we do. And we pray with each other. I went to visit a man in Waverly Care Center this past week, and he had gone to the hospital for diabetes, thinking he would maybe have to remove a couple toes. But it turned out they had to remove his whole leg. And then another setback happened, and another, and suddenly he found himself in Waverly Care. And his wife had left him years before, and he had no kids. But he did have a cousin and an aunt and uncle who would come and see him. But he told me that he had been a Christian, but honestly had gotten angry with God and discouraged by life, and wondered why God hadn't answered in some of the things. And he was kind of losing faith, but wished he had it. And I just sat with him and listened, and I hurt with him. I didn't know why all this had to happen. And I told him that, and we shared our sorrows a bit. And as we talked together, I felt the healing that even just comes when God's in the room and you have a friend to share with. And even if you don't have the answers, it's okay. I asked him if I could pray for him, and he said yes. And as I bowed my head to pray, something came over me. All of a sudden, I just started crying. Like I could feel this man's pain, and at the same time, God's love for him. I just started crying. And he started crying. And there was healing of the kind that was deep in that place, a restoring of faith and hope and love. The Lord heals. When we are sick, we must gather together and pray. And then one last thing. James mentions here, we must pray in our sin. And we all sin. And James says, we shouldn't just confess our sins to God, but if we really want to heal and overcome our sin, we should confess our sins to each other and pray for each other. To confess to God is important. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We confess our sin to God because we have sinned against him. But James goes one step further. He says, confess also your sins to one another. It doesn't have to be a priest, but just tell your brother in Christ and have him pray for you too. Not just our physical sickness needs healing, but our spiritual. And so when we're humble, invite others to know us as we really are, broken and sinful people who need Jesus, and we ask them to pray for us that we might live a new life, the Lord does more than just forgive. He gives us strength to overcome. Have you ever confessed your sins to God or maybe even another? I guess I would encourage you to think about what kind of relationships do you want to have at church? You can just attend here and only see strangers week after week, or you can come to this place and desire true fellowship with real people like you. People like us who are broken and sick and desiring to live a life pleasing to God. People that will help you grow in Christ as you grow. And if you dare to invite a few of them into your life and your walk with God and ask them to pray for you when you're sick and even pray for you in the areas that you struggle, you will be blessed by the Lord and the community of faith. God has given us each other. Prayer is a major part of this life with God, prayer alone and prayer together. I love how James mentions Elijah, because Elijah was almost worship-packed in Bible times, just like we can put certain people on pedestals. But James says, Elijah's just a man, just like you and me. But James says he prayed, and when he did pray, it didn't rain for 3 years. And then when he prayed again, it poured. And James is referring to the story found in 1 Kings 17. God called Elijah to help his people see their idolatry and know there's only one God. He told Elijah to go before the king and tell them their sin and tell them that it won't rain unless by his command. And so God used Elijah and worked through Elijah's prayer to help show his people there's only one God who can bring the rain. James is saying, look at what God did through this one man's prayer. The Lord answered his prayer and even stopped the rain. God parts seas. He stops the rain. He shuts the mouths of lions. He brings down big walls. When God's people pray, impossible becomes possible. James is saying, let that inspire you to bow your heads, for God can and will do miracles if his people pray. That famous verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Let us be a people of prayer. Have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.